podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is a Locker Room production.
Boom, the boys are back. It is another Thursday live show here at Locker Room. Locker Room has been rocking with us back since March. They're our current only sponsor, and honestly, it is the best spot. Just today, like literally started this, there are live watch parties for the U.S. men's national game that's going on, the Lakers playoff game, all sorts of stuff. Literally, if you want to talk sports with folks, get over to Locker Room. The link to the app is in the episode of this show notes. It'll be coming to Android soon. All my Android people, you will be able to join us very shortly, and I can't wait for that. So this is the point of the show where I'm going to rant and ramble for a bit before folks get in here. Not a crazy amount of news this not a lot of crazy news this year or this week with K-State sports. I think the biggest thing is, the baseball team did not make it into the regional. It's tough. It's a tough one. Really thought they had a shot to sneak in there. They weren't there. I tell you what, though, I'm getting excited for the future of the baseball program. I think they'll be in postseason play very soon. Reggie Stubblefield, he left the shortest ever tenure of a K-State player that I can remember. He was a transfer from Prairie View A&M. It was the whole, was it a catfish situation? No, he wasn't. He didn't get catfish. I don't think that at all. But, it was an interesting, saga. I will miss Reggie. And then that all of a sudden has a lot of holes once again. A lot of holes when it comes to whether or not you're going to have any defensive back depth. So I think that's the biggest thing you're missing with Reggie Stubblefield not, sticking around. So it's frustrating, but, I think that they're still possibly looking for another, another DB, but we'll see. First one in the show today is Joel Anderson. We're just going to get started because the big thing for this show, I'm going to go through some of the Ask Bosco stuff. I'm not sure who all is going to be joining us today, but we're going to go through some of my favorite ones from this past week, and we're just going to have fun. We're going to just jump right into it. Before we do any of that, the intro question this week is going to be to Joel. Joel, where did you go to high school, and what was your biggest rival in high school?
So I graduated from Wichita Heights High School, and I would say probably our biggest rival was Bishop Carroll, or Capen maybe, or East, actually, probably Wichita East.
Yeah, that's the fun part about being in a city with multiple high schools. You have a lot of rivals, so I like it. Evan also is in the show once he gets up here. Evan, it's funny because I was in a group chat this week and we were talking about because – the Centennial League, where I used to be, it does not resemble what it used to be. And I had great conversations with some old high school friends talking about high school sports and who our biggest rival was back in the day. So the intro question to everyone before we get into some of my favorite Ask Bosco questions of the week is, where did you go to high school and who was your biggest rival? And it doesn't even have to be sports, It could just be like, hey, we didn't like those kids.
So I'm from Central Kansas. I went to Lyons High School, and our biggest rival was, 8 miles down the road in Sterling.
There you go. Hey, I have a lot of love for Central Kansas, North Central Kansas. So I know exactly where Lyons is, so that's awesome. So I'm going to just get into it again as people do or don't join. And honestly, I'll tell you this right now. I could have an entire show with just Evan and Joel, and I think it would be one of our best ones ever. So we're going to just jump into it. I'm going to do some of my favorite ones from the Ask Bosco episode and see what you guys think. The first one we're going to go with is the Good Chef. He may make an appearance later, but I know he's having fun out at the golf course. So he says, if you got rid of the pound the stone theme around the football team, what slogan would you go with? So I'm going to change that just a little bit. Do you dislike the pound the stone thing? I know some people are annoyed with it. They think it's stupid. I don't really care. I don't have an opinion. But that was the first question that was asked of it, and we're going to go with it. So Joel, we'll go with you. Do you care about the, you know, pound the stone mantra? Do you want to get rid of it? What would you change it to? That was the first question. I thought it was a funny one from Chef.
Yeah, I don't really mind it. I mean, it's cheesy, but they're all pretty cheesy. The one I hate is Win the Dang Day. I think that's so, like, middle school. I have no clue what I would change it to. I think they're all pretty cheesy, in my opinion. So if it gets the players up in the morning, that's all that matters.
Okay, I like it. Evan, what are your thoughts on Pound the Stone? Do you have any Win the Dang Day hot takes? Then we're going to get into one of my favorite people on Twitter, Casey Wright, and we're going to get his intro question and get his thoughts on it as well.
Yeah, I was pretty much just going to say the exact same thing Joel did there. I kind of like the Pound the Stone, especially the sledgehammer part of it on the sideline, but the Win the Dang Day is just not very cool to me.
I think they're trying to phase that out. So I'm gonna get down to Casey Wright, again, one of my favorite people on Twitter. I had an intro question because, again, as a Topeka Cat, the Centennial League is basically dead as we know it starting in 2022. So I was having conversations with some of my old high school friends reminiscing about the day. So I'm asking everyone, where did you go to high school and who was your biggest rival when you were in school?
Hey, Scott. Glad to be here.
I'm glad you're on here, man.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm a townie. I went to Manhattan High.
Oh, so it's easy. It was Junction City.
It was Junction City, a.k.a. Junktown.
Yeah, so here's my question because, again, I observed it from the outside in. I actually lived my final year in college with a ton of Manhattan High grads, but I have a lot of friends who now coach and work in the athletic department in Junction City. How cool is it to have, like, legitimately, if you look at some of the most historic football rivalries in the entire country, how cool is it that your school is involved in that?
It was cool. It feels like it's so long ago now. We had the silver trophy. And
yeah, I think that's still around.
It was such a big deal. And just the hatred between the two schools. It's nice to have a true rivalry where you, for good or bad reasons, really hate each other. I'll say the basketball games I remember specifically because the student sections would be right next to each other. And some unpleasant things were said. There was a brawl after one of them in the lobby of Manhattan High at one point. So yeah, it was great. Good old-fashioned heated rivalry.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people may kind of turn their nose up at old high school rivalries and that type of stuff. But, man, it's fun to reminisce about that. But we'll get into the first question that I'm grabbing. I'm shameful, and I'm not even getting original with any of the content this week. It's just straight from the Ask Bosco shows. People tweeted in. Chef Andre Napier asks, do you want to get rid of the Pound the Stone theme? If so, what slogan would you go with it? And then I think it's also turned into a hate fest on the slogan Win the Dang Day.
Yeah, easy yes. I want to get rid of both of them. They're overplayed. They were kind of cool at first. But I'm not a fan of how they've turned into the brand. And maybe it was just a one-year thing. I'm not sure if they're incorporating it this year. But I guess it's been going 2 years now.
Yeah, I think Pound the Stone's never going to go away. And I think in my head, it's kind of basically taken on the same mantra that the 16 goals used to. And I don't know. I think it's all kind of hokey, but I think there's worse things than Pound the Stone. But I don't know. We'll move on from that one. That one is that was the first one. Another good one I got from Connor Schmidling, which I love Connor, and I'm going to evolve it. He asked specifically about the beer garden at Bill Snyder Family Stadium that's going in the southeast corner of the stadium. But I'm going to change it up. A, do you think that they should have beer and because they also do wine, margaritas, all that type of stuff as a general concession at football games? And if not, or whatever, do you like the fact that now they are putting in these spots for folks to gather, or would you prefer them to just be like, no, general concession, get back to your seat, You're supposed to be at the game, not gathering. I just want to get people's takes on kind of the modern stadium experience and what's evolving at the stadium. So I'll go with Joel again first for this one. What are your thoughts on the evolution of how they're doing alcohol in the stadium? And do you like that they're building these specific gathering areas? Because again, just like the other one, you can't see the field from this. This is supposed to be gathering area, get your drink, talk to your friends, and then go back. What do you think about this evolution in the stadium?
Yeah, so as like a recent graduate, drinking in the student section was absolutely electric. I just got smashed. We got rowdy. It was a heck of a time.
So were you sneaking it in? Tell me how you snuck it in, because, again, it wasn't a general concession.
Well, last year it was a general concession.
Oh, but, shit, you're right. You're right. Okay, so you loved it as a student.
Oh, absolutely loved it. I mean, before that, you just throw them in your – if you had just shooters, like, the plastic doesn't bother anybody, so it doesn't get picked up on the metal detector, so it's easy. But yeah, I think you should be able to get your beer, get back to your seat and watch the game. I don't go there exclusively to drink. If I wanted to do that, I'd go sit at a bar. So I think it's kind of dumb that they took away just general concession.
Okay, so then we're going to get down to Evan. Evan, what are your thoughts? Not a general concession. Do you like the evolution of how they're trying to give options in the stadium, or do you just think that, hey, they need to go one way or the other? Don't try this half and half stuff.
I'm a fan of it regardless. I'd prefer they just go full on concessions. And my main thing with that is just keeping people in the stadium, especially at the beginning of the third quarter there.
I like it. Mr. Casey Wright, I see in the chat you already have fans. You're taking on a life of your own. Please don't start a podcast and put me out of business.
It's crossed my mind, but I'll hold on.
Honestly, I would just bow out. I'd give you all the IP behind Bosco's Boys if you wanted to start one. So
we could join forces.
Okay.
Okay. Alcohol, wish it was at the concessions. I think that's an obvious answer. And there may be an easy answer to this, and you might know. I think you've had more conversations about this than I have. Why can't they do reentry plus alcohol?
Yeah, so I've had some in-depth conversations with my best friend, Gene Taylor, and that's hyperbolic a little bit. But it really comes down to the way that the concession contracts are signed and put together. Basically, if you start doing alcohol as a main concession, the company that we do business with, like Sodexa or whatever it is, they're one of the big players. They have it written in with all their contracts that if you sell beer and alcohol as a general concession items, your share of the profits go down because they have to then pay for extra insurance, trade, training, and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So if you're then if you're going to allow exit reentry, you're not maximizing your profit. There's a very real scenario that, hey, if you have re-entry, you might not be selling enough beer to make it profitable for both the concessionaire and yourself. So that's the reason why I think they still should do it, but that's the official reason I've been given.
Yeah. If you had to rank my preferences, one, don't allow re-entry, sell alcohol in the stadium. But I get why they would go with number two and allow re-entry. I get the reasons for wanting it. So if they're stuck in this middle ground of needing to find some solutions, I'm all for it. Find like the terraces or you said southeast corner that they're going to have alcohol. Hey, great. Yeah. Find ways to put alcohol into people as much as possible, in my opinion.
I love it. Okay, so then we're going to go to Steve. Then we're going to go to the two-time bracket champ, Callan Bowler, and then Cole. Steve, the intro question I've been doing, because I had a long conversation. This is the last time I'll tell the full story. About high school sports, because the Centennial League, as we know it, is basically dead starting in 2022. You're a fellow Washburn Rule guy. Who was the big rival back in the day for you guys? We had some overlap. I'm not trying to make you sound older than you actually are.
Oh, say Manhattan. We were both back in the day.
That's true. At this point, it is.
Yeah. Shawnee Heights was definitely the one that was the kids you make fun of the most just because they were Topeka, but I think Manhattan High was like, for all intents and purposes, like who should have been our rival, but they're always going to have Junction City. So
you were, Steve, you were the K-State to our KU, and Junction City was our Mizzou. Does that make sense?
I totally agree with that.
That's perfect. All right, and then Steve, we won't double back to any pound the stone hot takes. If you want to get those off in the end, you can. Let me know who was, or let me know your thoughts on the evolution of how they're selling alcohol in Bill Snyder Family Stadium. Are you cool with how now there will be two general entry beer gardens that you can get it, drink, and then go? But again, it's not being set up as a party deck. There will be no view of the field. But how do you grade out the evolution of beer for the common folks in Bill Snyder Family Stadium?
I already have the answer for everybody, which is you don't allow re-entry except for certain ticket holders. Like at the beginning, if you buy season tickets, you pay a certain amount of money to be able to re-enter.
Oh my gosh. Steve just got K-State Athletics out of their financial troubles, and that is amazing. That is, Steve, that's the best answer ever. Basically, you get a little card. This is my exit re-entry card. It's only for season ticket. That is amazing. That's the best answer I've ever heard. Congratulations, Steve.
We're ending the podcast. So text Gene, let him know. Let him know we fixed it.
I am. I'm going to let him know. That's amazing. That's awesome. I'm going to move over to our two-time bracket champion, Callan. And I believe, Callan, you're going to have to correct me if I'm wrong. You're going to get in here and stand up for the honor of the Junction City Blue Jays against some of this Blue Jay slander from Casey Wright, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, so that's your big rival. What was that rivalry like from your perspective? We got KC's perspective a little bit earlier. How was that rivalry from your side of things?
Oh, it was a huge rivalry. A lot of hatred for Manhattan, that's for sure.
Yeah, and how cool was it? Because, you know, Casey, I said this to Casey, and it was kind of point and proof when Steve talked about when he was in school. You know, Manhattan was the big rival for him, but it wasn't for them. What was it like having truly one of the best rivalries, not just in the state of Kansas, but honestly, I think in, you know, the entire country when it comes to high school sports?
No, it's awesome. We actually had some TV company have like the rivalry game of the year or whatever. My senior year, it was great. Silver trophy. It's a big deal in Junction, that's for sure. Yeah.
Can I tell a story real quick?
Yeah, let's hear it, Casey. So this is what the live show is all about. I want to hear
That's right. 2006 was my senior year, and that's when Facebook came out. And so I organized the first ever Manhattan High Red Out versus Junction City because we're both blue, but Manhattan has red as like a second color. So I said, hey, to differentiate our fans at this game, let's do a red out. And they still do red outs. And it was all started by me on Facebook when Facebook became a thing in 2006.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And that's the type of stuff I love to hear. Yeah, I absolutely love that. So then we're going to go back to Callan for this answer. Again, the two-time bracket champion. We love Callan on the show. And if I'm I'm horrible. If it's not pronounced Callan, please tell me to fuck off. I apologize. but what is it? What are your thoughts? Because you're a current student at K-State. I don't know if you're 21, so I don't know if I can legally ask you this. But what do you think of the evolution of how they're selling alcohol in the stadium? Last year's a general concession. This year they're not, and they're adding a new beer garden. What is your take on all of that?
Yeah, I'm not 21, so I'm a little impartial on it, but that was a great answer from Steve with the season ticket reentry thing. That sounded like a great idea. I never even thought of that.
Well, it's amazing. The next time I have Gene Taylor on the show, I'm gonna propose that to him live on air, and we'll see his reaction. So that's great. I love it. Okay, so the next one we're going to do, because this is taking on a life of its own, and because I'm a big fat dummy and know nothing about higher education, I didn't really have a good answer for this one. So we're going to start with Steve. What are you looking for the next school president? That came from Chef Andre Napier. We all love Kansas State Athletics. We all love the university. What do we want to see from the next guy? Because I'm dumb. All I said was I figure out some way to get enrollment higher. I don't know how to do that. I don't know anything about higher education. You all, everyone in this room is smarter than me. and probably smaller. I'm a big fat fatty, but tell me what you want to see for the next school president.
I'm really bummed you start with me because all I want to see is him or her funnel money from the academic side into the sports side. That's really the only thing I would care about.
Okay, so so that's interesting, and I'm going to evolve the question. So if anyone has a good higher education take, you 100% can insert this, but I'm going to change the answer. So K-State is one of, I think, of only like five schools nationwide and only one of three in the Big 12 that takes no extra money by way of privilege fees from students, takes no money from the academic side. Fun fact, K-State actually cuts a hard check back to the university side, paying for stuff like maintenance staff and that type of stuff, stuff that doesn't happen at other universities. And in my opinion, because again, I'm a dummy, I think that that's a good thing. I like the fact that it is an independently run athletic department from the university. I think that's a feather in the cap of Gene Taylor. Other people don't. I don't know if I'm in the minority of that. Steve, based on your answer, it sounds like you would prefer not to be independently run if that means that you can get a few extra million dollars to help fund the athletic programs and kind of close the dollar gap between us and our conference peers.
Yeah, I don't know what good that does us. Are we gaining undergraduates because they're not paying an extra whatever for the athletic department? Like, it doesn't seem like there's much benefit to it besides a fun fact you bring up with your friends at some point.
Well, I'll say this. It does allow me to dunk on political science professors at K-State. So I enjoy that. But I don't know. I think that is a very good retort to that. So I'm going to now go to Joel. Joel, you're a recent graduate. If the university all of a sudden said to you while you're in school, hey, we're going to charge you an extra $500 a semester so we can funnel it back to the university. Oh, and you'll still have to pay for tickets. What would your reaction have been as a student? Would that have changed your decision to go to K-State?
I mean, it wouldn't have changed my decision. All my family went to K-State, so I was kind of stuck going there. But I would say if you're charging that, like I know a lot of other schools that do that, you get your tickets included in that. So that would maybe make more students go into the game because I know we've been struggling with that. But to feed off of the original question, what we need in a new president is one that allows snow days. I didn't have a single snow day in 4 years.
And I think with the rise of Zoom, I think that'll become even more rare. We're going to go to Callan, who is a current student. Callan, what do you think about K-State not taking any extra money from students outside of, you know, if you want to buy a $200 ICAT ticket and nothing from the academic side of the university? Do you want them to come to an agreement either with the students or the university to get some more money? Or do you, as a current student, do you like the fact that the athletic department's self-funding?
I like that it's self-funding. I think it's pretty cool. I mean, I'd also like not having to pay any extra, and that'd be sad if I had to pay more. They can do that after I graduate, but I think it's a good thing, though.
I like that current perspective. That's good by me. Let's go to Evan. Evan, what are your thoughts? If you have a thought on university president, you can give me that. But to Steve's point, do you like that K-State is athletics is self-sufficient from the academic side? Or do you think that's just basically costing yourself a couple million dollars a year versus your peers?
I like that it's self-sufficient. I think just education costs a lot already, and adding in the athletics isn't like very good for the students necessarily. And then as far as a university president goes, I kind of like how Richard Myers has just been like all about K-State, like wears purple suits and stuff, definitely in comparison to like Kirk Schultz was. I'd want a president that's similar in that manner.
Okay, you want a K-State man. All right, we're going to go to Casey. Casey, if you have a thought on university president, that's fine. If you have a thought on being self-funding, I'll love to hear that too. Because I'll say this, I'm shocked how many people on message boards hate that we're one of the only self-funding. It's like a legitimate gripe against folks. So, more than open to hearing a take against it.
No, I think it's good. The athletic department is self-funding. If I
if I want to, I don't know if this is the right way to phrase it, but if I'm going to tuck my shirt in a little bit, I do think athletics are probably too important and take too much precedence over academics. So the fact that we can say we don't take anything from the academic side, I actually like that. So yeah, I think it's a good thing. Now for president, I'm going to untuck my shirt and say, I want a president who makes it clear that winning in sports is the most important thing.
Oh, so that's a little contradictory there.
It is. Well, not most important thing overall in, like, in life. I just mean, like, for our sports, we need to win. And I want to, like, know but not know that they're okay with us bending some rules, if you know what I mean.
Basically, what I'm hearing from you is you want someone who is going to tell Gene to retire and then hire Laird Veach, who is doing things that way out at Memphis.
Ooh.
Now, and let me phrase this so I don't get sued by Laird. I don't actually know if that's the case. I just look at what's going on with Memphis recruiting and football and basketball and make assumptions. Laird, don't sue me for defamation. And also, please don't listen to this if you ever become K-State AD, because I do want to bring you on the show.
Yeah, I can't go on the record and say that. But
yes,
I want
do not say he doesn't. But you'd be fine if whoever the next AD is willing to play in the gray.
Yeah, but I don't want to, like, know about it. You know what I mean?
That's fine. You want him to be good at playing in the gray.
Be good at, like, I'm thinking late 90s. I feel like we did a lot of things late 90s with Weefald. And he just sort of let things happen. He probably pushed some buttons here and there. I don't know. I'm speculating.
You don't want to know. You know what? When it comes to the athletic side of things, I'm fine with that too. I'm fine with that too. So we're going to get to Cole, something I've been asking everyone just as a throwback to some conversations I've had in group chats this week. What high school did you go to and who was your biggest rival when you were in high school?
Yeah, so I went to Heights High School out of Wichita, same school as Joel, so sorry if this is a repeat answer. I guess our rival was supposed to be Southeast, but they weren't very good at any sports, or at least in the sports that I did, so there wasn't too much rivalry there, but I would say more of Capon and Bishop Carroll, just like the private Catholic school to public school mentality seemed to always create abrasion between the two student bodies.
No, I like that. And then do you have a take when it comes to university president and then also the fact that K-State Athletics does not take any money from the academic side, and outside of ticket sales, they do not take anything from students by the way of fees?
Yeah, when it comes to university president, I honestly don't really know. I mean, in my 4.5 years at K-State, I had zero interaction with President Myers. So I honestly couldn't tell you one thing that he did that affected my life at K-State. And that's probably my own fault. I guess one thing I'd like to see is just K-State is in Manhattan, small town in the middle of Kansas. I think when it comes to technologies and trends, we need to be an early adopter and an innovator when it comes to those types of things. So a president that could do that would be one that I would like. And then when it comes to the athletic department being separate from the academics, I personally like it. I think it's something that differentiates K-State. I kind of hopped in on the middle of this question, so I'm sorry if this is a repeat answer, but I especially like it when it comes to the argument of people complaining about universities having these million-dollar facilities. But at K-State, you know, we can't say, oh, my tuition is paying for this football practice facility, because that's not the case because they're separate. So I personally like it.
Okay, and I'm going to go to Steve, and then I have a quick hitter question on this topic, and then we'll move on to the next question. Steve, you seem to be a little bit on the island of this, so I want you to go to bat, because I think there are very good arguments for not having them be separate identities, having money go from the academic to the athletic side. Give me your take, because I don't even know if you're in the minority. There are a lot of people who agree with you. Just so happens that none of them are on the show today. Just kind of go to bat for the idea of academics sending money to athletics to up their budget?
So I don't, I said this originally, I don't think anybody comes to K-State because of that. I do think, I'm not saying I don't like it. I do like it, but what is the objective benefit to it? And then if you can, you know, if they're in the same pool, same money's in the same pool, you can convince people on both sides to donate more. If like, also, you know, your sport, you know, if you buy these tickets, some of it will go to the psychology deal and some of it will go to engineering. And then vice versa, if you're donating engineering, like, oh, and also some of this will go to sports. It just, I think you can pitch it either way if it, they're blended.
Okay. No, I think that is a good pitch for it. I'm going to actually, so we got Mike, my guy Mike, who listened to my critical feedback on his social media and had a fire Instagram post this week. So Mike, thanks for that. The intro question to everyone has been, where did you go to high school and who's your big rival? And then I'm going to get your take real quick on K-State athletics and academics. And then if you have anything to say about a new president, that's fine. Do you like that it's two separate entities? Academics does not cut any checks back to athletics, and there are no specific student fees going from students to athletics outside of buying a season ticket.
Yeah. So I went to Topeka High, class of 01.
Hoy, hoy, mighty Troy.
You know it. And, you know, when I was there, obviously it was Topeka West was the rival. Although, you know, we were better than them at pretty much everything. So it's a little bit like a K-State KU type of deal. The academics and sports, you know, I'd say I like the separation. I like that there's no accountability in terms of financing. And I appreciate that separation because then basically, you know, you can't be saying that the sports are driving away the quality of education, is my thought. I don't have any ideas on a new president. I just, you know, I hope that they support our athletics the way it has been recently. So those are my thoughts. I don't know if I missed one of those questions.
Nope. You hit them all. And now I'm going to do a quick, you know, rapid fire thing. So currently, and I just looked it up, the combo pass, and I don't know if ICAT has gone away. You can, okay, so you can go up to ICAT. You can go from 200 to 240 for ICAT, or you can get a combo combo for 200. Would you guys, and again, this group is not the ones to answer this question. This would have to be to someone who is a fringe student who may or may not go to games. But the athletic department, based on enrollment and how many tickets they sold, if they charged every single student who came in $120, sorry, you don't get to opt in or opt out as a fee, and you got free entry to all sports, that would bring in more money from the athletic department from students than how they're currently doing it. And then you then open up the games to any student at K-State. Do you think that is the route, a smarter route to go than having them opt in and buy the combo passes or ICAT for 200 or 240? So it's cheaper for the students who want to go, and then you're not giving the nerds who don't like sports an option, but you might get a random person deciding to go because they already paid for a ticket. Would you want to go that route, or do you like it the way it is? We're going to go with Joel first.
I mean, I would. They already charge you $400 for a campus privilege fee that nobody even got to use the campus facilities the last year and a half. So why not
tack on a little bit more? All right, Callan, you're a current student. This, if you're a season ticket holder, it'd actually save you money. What do you think the reaction from folks who don't go to games would be if all of a sudden their privilege fee went up, you know, $100, $120, even if they don't want to go to sporting events?
The more I think about it, I mean, who really cares? Because you're already spending so much money. What's another $100? The more I think about it, it's probably sounds like a good idea.
All right, run for SGA and try to push that through. Cole, what's your take on that? Do you think that would be a smart move by the academic side or the student government side and athletics to come to that agreement, or do you think the current way is the smartest way?
Yeah, I definitely think that would be a good idea. I actually wrote a paper about this in my last semester at K-State, like a proposal for our business writing class or whatever. But I think it would be a good idea. I know some people would be not happy about it, but I figure there's a decent amount of people that when ICAT tickets go on sale, they probably think they'll never go to a football game. And then they come to school in the fall and see that it might be kind of fun and decide to go. So I think it would just be good to let all students have the option to go, whether or not they're really a K-State fan or a football fan.
No, I like it. Steve, this seems to maybe go with what you're saying, a little bit more money to the athletic department, open up more options to students who may not think they want to go to games. Where would you land on this if you became dictator of K-State, the university?
Okay, so you're saying right now if we charge every student $120, everybody gets in, that'd be the same money we're making off of students for season tickets?
Yeah, so I'm going to use an enrollment idea of $20,000 or 20,000 students. So if you said you have 20,000 students and you're not giving them the option, that's 2.4. Right now, the max student allotment they could sell is 9,000 tickets, and not every single one of them could be an ICAT because now that's an upcharge instead of an option. So even if you did all of them for 240, you would be coming under that at 2.1 million. And here's the thing, the reason why the band is moving back to the student section, the reason why Bramlage has allocated less seats to students is because student sales are now suffering. So you're not getting that 2.1 million. You're getting probably closer to 1.5 or maybe even 1.2.
That was a lot of numbers that I cannot register right now.
Basically, it would give the athletic department more money, but anyone who hates sports would then be having to pay for a ticket that they don't want.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, they're not going to leave K-State for that. They might end up going to game. Even if you move that, the number that you gave, just doing quick math on my phone, shout out MoCat, making it 200 would be even another 1 million on top of the numbers you're running. Like, that's
but 200 is how much you have to opt into paying now. I would not force every single student to do that. That's why
I'm just running that number like 200 times 20,000 was like around a million. There's just so much money to be made, and if we can mix them together, and I just don't see a benefit besides telling your friends, oh well, you know, we don't have to pay for tickets if we don't want them. Like, I'm still confused what the benefit is.
Sounds like Steve just wants to take money from people. I love it.
I'm Mike, in sales. Of course I want to do that.
I love it. Mike, do you have a stance? Should K-State go away from the student pass and then just make that part of a privilege fee, an increased privilege fee? And this is easy because I think Callen's the only current student. So we're just basically spending everyone else's money.
Yeah. I mean, I would say no. I think there would be a tremendous backlash on that. However, just for the sociological or economical experiment of it all, I would want to see it, because what if, you know, 18,000 students showed up for the first game? How incredible would that be?
Well, and then they'd get turned away, and then they would say, I'm paying for this and I don't even get to use it. So that would be amazing. I would love to see a university and athletic department, which again, I love a lot of folks in the leadership. They have not always done a great job when it comes to PR, when it comes to anything difficult.
That's the thing. Like, would they have to accommodate? Like, they'd have to separate off 20,000 seats.
If you get turned out, if you get turned back after paying for it, you just get $25 cash. I mean, how's that? With the student body's full and you can't get in, you get $25 cash.
That actually becomes an amazing experiment, because then it's like, all right, let's all band together and try to get $25 and then go to Aggieville. That makes the experiment even better. That's amazing. I like where Steve's head's at. We're going to go to Casey, and then we're going to end this this quick one, which didn't turn out to be quick at all, with Evan. Casey, what would you do if you became dictator? Would you keep the pass thing, or are you charging everyone $120 and saying anyone who shows up?
No, that's a bullshit idea. I'm going to stick up for my friends that don't like sports. And look, first of all, I was going to say it before it came up. Yeah, you give everybody access. What if everybody wants to come? And then we have to turn people away. No, what we need to do is have teams that students want to come watch. So there focus on making our teams good. yep. and sell the tickets like we have been for whatever they are, 300, yeah. 400. And that's how you get the student section full again. But yeah, no, I won't say band nerd because they might be at the game, but I was a choir guy. I know a lot of choir people that they don't want to go to the game. So yeah, $120, it's nothing, but it's just the principle. And I'm ashamed that all of you would just rake in money from unwilling people like that.
I love it. Evan, are you going to join the righteous side of KC or are you going to join the mob?
I think in like principle, I'd join KC's. Just like being in the band and stuff, we got into games and didn't have to buy the passes and stuff. So I know a lot of students like that that wouldn't go anyway. But I definitely am for this if I was just a regular student, getting into all the games for cheaper than what it was before. Yeah, plus, no, I think it helps benefit like those games that you're not getting as many students because they don't have the passes.
No, I think there is some there are some pros and cons to all of it. I think at the end, as I said, I like that athletics and academics is a separate entity, and doing that actually would kind of blurry those waters because you're taking money from the students. So I actually am going to get on board with Casey and say, let's just get good teams again. And then upcharge the people who want to come. Let's like make it $500. No, I'm kidding. That's too much. This one, I promise, is going to be quick. You can give me like a 5-word reasoning if you want, but this is a great one because I think this will be debated forever and we'll never get to figure it out because neither one is ever going to come. But if you could have Brad Underwood for basketball or Brent Venables for football, who are you choosing? We're going to go Joel, then Callen, Cole, Steve, Mike, Evan, and end with Casey.
I need Brad Underwood, please.
Okay. Callen, which one are you going with?
I'm also going Brad.
Okay. Cole, are you going to keep the momentum going?
I'll take Brad.
Really, or are you just feeling pressured because no one else has?
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence, honestly. I couldn't really decide, so I just went the opposite direction, honestly.
Okay, Steve, who are you going with, Brad or Brent?
So real quick, is it like a lifetime contract or what's going on?
For the purposes, sure.
Then I'd go Brent because he'll recruit better than Brad, I believe, and at least there'll be playmakers that people will come watch no matter how.
Okay, Mike.
I'm going to go Brad. I just think, Brent isn't really going to get us that national championship that we desperately need.
Okay. Evan.
I'll go Brent. I like Steve's reasoning on that.
Okay. Casey.
Brad, already proven.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. But I think that's a great question. And again, I don't think we're ever going to get an answer on how any of them will do it. The next one, just because, and I think this came in from Mike. I didn't write down the username on this one, but for my favorite meme of the year, the Kansas State University is a Marxist institution. The question is, were you on Twitter when that happened and did you see the original tweet, or were you super confused when you started seeing a bunch of communism, Marxism, and Soviet Union stuff on Twitter when you logged on that day? Joel, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, so I was on Twitter when it happened. Didn't see the original tweet. I just saw Grant, like, blowing my feet up with Marxist K-State stuff.
I love it. Callen, were you on Twitter? Were you studying? Was that during finals week? I don't know.
It was after the semester was over. But, yeah, I hopped on. I was really confused just seeing Russian on my timeline. And then I saw like, what was going on. I had to go find the original tweet.
Yeah, and then he deleted it. Cole, were you on Twitter when that was going on? Were you confused, or were you in on the joke from the jump?
Yeah, so I saw the original tweet, earlier in the day, and a few of the responses. I was just kind of like, all right, whatever, that was a stupid tweet. And then later in the day, I get back on Twitter and just see this dude's getting roasted. So I had to hop on the winning team and get involved through my Twitter finger.
Yep, I love it. Steve.
I jumped on slightly after it started blowing up and just tweeted in all caps. Somebody explained the joke to me because I knew there was something bigger going on that I really wanted to be a part of. And it lived.
Mike, was that your tweet?
It was not my question.
The question.
Oh no, I asked. How does K-State being a Marxist institution?
Okay.
But I know the jabroni that did the original tweet, and I can tell you right now that he believes that in his core that K-State is a leftist Marxist institution. He's ridiculous. So I did see it originally, and he got everything he deserved.
Okay, Evan, were you on? Were you confused? What was your reaction?
I was confused, and then just kind of looked through Grant's replies and found out what was going on.
Perfect. And then Casey.
I saw it pretty much in real time. I'm on Twitter all the time. This is what Twitter was made for. Like, I just, chef's kiss. It was so perfect. I knew it was stupid, a stupid tweet in the moment. I laughed at, like, everybody making fun of it. But then every time I got back on Twitter over the next few hours and then a couple of days, it would, like, just show me Marxist tweets, like, at the very top. And I love it. I can't get over how perfect of a K-State meme that was. And I'm so happy that it brought everybody together.
Okay. When was the last like elite day on Twitter for a good reason on like this little corner of K-State Twitter?
For a good reason?
Like, cause this was like, well, yeah, I mean, cause there's been a lot of like meltdowns and bad stuff, but like this was amazing. The only thing I could come up with was all the fake tweets the day of the Liberty Bowl of people pretending to be Memphis business owners. So
that was good.
Shout out. I think it was the, you know, D Lou and, Chris Sork, you know, over at the short side option. I think them and I think Ryan Yeager pioneered that, those DU guys. Yeah. I think they were the ones who really knocked that day out of the park. And that was amazing from them.
Yeah. I think that's it. There's been good Twitter days, but it's usually just normal stuff, but something like this, it probably was that Liberty Bowl. And I was there enjoying a person, so I wasn't following as much along on Twitter, but when I did see the aftermath, and that was well done by those guys.
Okay, so the next question, I'm going to start with you. Who do you think is the most attractive K-State athlete of all time?
Oh, boy. On the spot. Here we go. Out of left field here. You know what? Arthur Brown. The way he looked in – just great body. Great goat. Was it goatee that he had?
Yeah.
I think that's probably an underrated one. People wouldn't think of that first, but man, he was a good looking guy and he was just absolutely.
That's good. We'll go Evan. We're going reverse order on this one. Evan, who do you think the best looking athlete in K-State history was? And this one I did have it written down. That was from the good chef. So everyone send your tweets to him as well.
I'm going to go with Denzel Goolsby.
Yeah, he has a little GQ in him. I like that. I like that. Mike, who would you go with?
I'm going to have to go with our friend of the pod, Ben Lieber.
Ben Lieber, he's a K-State sexy bald now. Steve.
Ben Lieber for sure for sexiness. And if we're going adorableness, Tyler.
Tyler was an adorable cat. That's an Adora cat, if you would. Cole, what would you say? Best looking athlete in K-State history.
Definitely Colin Klein. Just a great, good-looking, God-fearing man. Good role model. He'll be a great dad if he's not.
I think they had a kid. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, Callen. They did.
Okay. Thank you. Callen, who do you got? Best-looking athlete in K-State history.
I don't know if he's the best-looking, but Wyatt Hubert with the hair and those thighs.
Whew. That's what I like to hear. Joel, who you going with?
I'm going to take a little different route. I'm going to say Dalton Risner. When you saw him at the bars, just a good-looking guy. Tattoos, always dressed nice. Good-looking guy.
There you go. All right. I like it. I like where we went with this, and I also like that we're a confident enough group that, you know, we're able to objectify college men, although most of them are, you know, graduated at this point. So I appreciate we could all come together on this. Evan, this was yours that I really liked, and I didn't have a good answer for it on my show, but I'm going to go out to everyone. And I'm going to start with you, Evan, since you asked it. What are your thoughts on Harley Day? And then also, if you could add a theme to the football schedule, what would you add? If you could get rid of one, what would you get rid of?
Thoughts on Harley Day. I like it. Just the huge rumbling in the stadium. Other days, I actually kind of, even coming from band, I agree it's kind of lame. Like, those were our, like, least fun halftime shows, so I'd probably get rid of that. And I can't really think of another one that I would add.
Okay, we're going to go to Joel. Joel, thoughts on Harley Day, and then is there a theme day you'd get rid of and one you would add?
Yeah, I think Harley Day is pretty cool. I think there needs to be more mopeds involved, like get the students involved in that. But one that I would add would maybe just be like a Strike the Stadium game every year against Auburn. It just looked really cool.
Was it Auburn was the stripe? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was.
It might have been. I couldn't
Mississippi.
My bad.
Oh, was Mississippi State a stripe as well?
Yeah, I think it, or was there I multiple? Think it was only Mississippi State.
Okay, well, there were a lot of cool pictures from that game, and I agree. I think having a stripe out would be cool. I like where your head's at, Joel. Callan, what would you go with?
Harley Day's all right. Don't really care about it. I liked the throwback idea that you said on the pod. I think that would be really cool, especially if we had throwback uniforms as well.
Oh, yeah. And see, I think if you're going to do it, I think almost become like throwback day, but not like, okay, it's 1980s because we suck. Let's just kind of make it almost like a throwback. Let's go super old school, like bad graphics, horrible music, make the cheerleaders wear like super long skirt, just stupid. Don't even try to make it like a game in the 80s. Let's just almost go full like meme of like a throwback game. Because we never had Sailor Willie on the helmet, so I think that's the way you got to go if you're going to do that. Cole, what about you? Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off. Cole, thoughts on Harley Day? Is there a day you want to get rid of, and is there something you'd like to see added?
Yeah, I love Harley Day, honestly. I think Willie needs to come in on some type of motorized vehicle every game. I just love loud noises. Something I would add... Why don't we just go ahead and lean into the stereotype and add a tractor day, have just a parade of the oldest and loudest tractors we can find, roll through the stadium, roll around. I don't care if you're on a lawnmower or whatever it is, just come in, make some noise, support agriculture, and I think that would be
I could get behind that.
Well, it would have to start a lot earlier than the Harleys, because the Harleys aren't moving very quick, but still quicker than I think tractors would. But I'd be all for, you know, going all in on the ag day. I think that just agriculture in America probably needs a little bit more love, and not to go all Iowa Hawkeye on it, but you know, they have the decal on their helmet, ANF, America Needs Farmers. I think it would be I'd be all for K-State embracing that a little more. Steve, thoughts on Harley Day? Is there a day you'd like to see added? Is there a day you'd like to see taken away?
Harley Day is great. I'm going back to money. You have to like donate so much money to take your Harley around. For that. I say Lavender Day, kind of with the throwback deal. Do all lavender everywhere. We'll make some money selling new shirts to people who don't have a lavender shirt. And I really do feel bad during marching band day when all the high schools are there and nobody's there watching it.
Well, you're a kind soul. I think they tried to do a lavender game, and I think it was during the collapse of Bruce 2.0. So not last year, but the year before. I think they had a lavender day, and I don't think they did enough marketing around it because it wasn't the best. But I am all in on color outs, and I want to embrace lavender for more than just basketball. So I like where your head's at. Mike, we'll go to you. Harley Day, yay or nay? Anything you'd like to see added, taken away?
Harley Day is a bit of an institution, so I don't see that going away. I think it should stay. It's a pretty unique experience, but I would suggest a sort of a tailgate theme more than a game theme. And that is like have a barbecue game where everyone brings their best barbecue and there's like a contest, or maybe like a chili day where people make their best chili cook.
That would be good. And then again, back to Steve's, you could charge people to enter the competition. I think that'd be good. I think maybe this might be the last year they can do it because Cat Town's going away. I always thought whether it was a game or even the spring game, I think they should have had a full-blown beer festival in Cat Town where you have all these craft breweries coming to town. sell some tickets to that. Everyone get properly boozed up. I think
that's a great idea.
Okay, we're going to go to KC, and then that'll wrap up this question. Then we'll have a end of the show question to go around.
That barbecue competition, that was a Ron Prince idea. They had that at the Ron Prince first spring game.
Oh, no, I take it back.
Dude, Ron Prince did everything right except for winning games and was a emotional terrorist to his players. You know, he tried it with the uniforms. Some people liked it. I thought they were fine. Other people absolutely hated them. The spring game was amazing. The music was good. There was way more smoke. The in-game production was good. Everyone hated the power towel. I kind of liked it. Ron Prince did everything right except for he was a shitty human being and he couldn't win football games. So
bad human being, bad football coach. The rest was good, though.
Good marketer. He was and sorry to go on a tangent. If people go back to the very first time we had Travis Tannehill on, and I think it was the first time we didn't even have professional equipment. It was a disgustingly long podcast. It wasn't very good. But he told a story about how he went to Ron Prince's house and he was teaching his kids like four or five different languages. Everything was marked with all these different languages in his house. He was very smart, but he was a sociopath. He was a bad human being and an emotional terrorist, but the guy was smart. So I'll leave it at that. And then I'll actually let you answer the question.
Yeah, no problem. Harley Day is great. It's one of those things that's kind of corny. If Iowa State did it, I'd probably make fun of it. But we do it. So I've been going to it since I was a kid. Love it. Keep it. Anything to add I would go with on the color theme? I do a whiteout with the players wearing the all whites that they had on for the Liberty Bowl with white helmets. I think that'd be kind of sharp if the whole crowd was white. It's kind of a knockoff of Penn State, but whatever. And then anything to remove, nothing really obvious sticks out. I Band-Aid, never seems like the kids are enjoying it that much. So I don't think anybody would be super sad to see that go. But
yep. Okay, the final one, and of course this is on brand for the show. This is on brand for stuff I like, and I hope you guys enjoy it. I think this came from Marching_Walker, and he was basically asking, which Big 12 team other than K-State has the cleanest looking uniforms? Away and home can be different teams if you want to be. And then bonus, if there was a change you could make to our current unis, what would it be? So basically give me just your quick thought of something you'd like to see K-State do with uniforms moving forward. It can be as small as, hey, just wear the white pants a little more. It could be do a decal, or it could be something super elaborate if you want to get your uniform take out there. But then give me the best home Big 12 uniform and best away Big 12 uniform. I'll just give my takes on this because I can't remember if I think I said it on the show, but just give everyone time to think. I think Texas's all whites, the Stormtrooper, is the best away. I think the best home is Oklahoma, cream white. And I think that every single year their game versus each other, it should be that jersey matchup. They should never go different. I don't want to see Oklahoma and the cream white. I don't want to see Texas's orange jerseys. I don't want to see it. Every single year in the Cotton Bowl at 11 a.m. and Oklahoma fans will bitch because it's another 11 a.m. game. I want to see Texas in their all whites. I want to see Oklahoma in their homes. That's the best possible uniform game in the entire world, let alone the Big 12. So that's my take. I'm going to start with Joel because I've kept a similar rotation the entire time. Give me the best home uniform, best away uniform in the Big 12, and something you'd like to see K-State try.
Okay, I don't know about, like, home and away. I think West Virginia is underrated in the uniform combinations. But one of mine that's a little weird is I really like when TCU has the little red hints on their uniforms. I don't know why. It's weird, but I really like it. As far as our uniforms, give me – some black somewhere. I need some black uniforms and then maybe like a chrome purple or a matte purple helmet.
Yeah, so I appreciate you going to bat for the red on TCU. I love when they have the red accenting. I think it's the only college athletic department since I have been noticing this stuff that's successfully introduced basically a brand new tertiary color, and they do it perfectly. The mouthpieces are red. Some of the detailing's red. They don't have full-on red jerseys. They sometimes have red numbers. I think it was a masterclass in uniforms, branding, and colors. So I'm happy you agree with me. Callan, what about you? What are some Big 12 uniform takes and something you'd like to see from K-State?
Well, both of mine have been taken. I was going to say I really enjoy the TCU with the red accent as well. I know that's a little bit unpopular. And then the Stormtrooper whites from Texas are just amazing. I wish we would go all white more, or at least white pants for away games. And then I think a whole new uniform, like a matte helmet, different uniform, jersey and pant combo, just to have a whole new, like, setup for a game, I guess, would be nice.
I like it. We'll go to Cole.
Yeah, I just like the variety that Oklahoma State has with the logos and the color combinations. I think when it comes to K-State, I'd like to see more variety, and also I'd like to see maybe mix in some lavender, not as a main color, but as an alternate or a detail on a jersey or a helmet.
Awesome. We'll go Steve.
I think away uniforms, Texas is just running away with that one. The all white, the Stormtrooper, as you called it, for sure is the best away uniform. Wait. In football, you wear whites at home, don't you?
You can.
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, I think you can. I mean, it doesn't happen often, but I have seen it before, and I think back in the day, wasn't there a whole story about how Snyder back in the early 90s, before games were on TV as much, wore the white whites at home like once a year so fans could see the away jerseys? Wasn't that a thing? I think you can. I don't think it happens often, but I think you can.
Do you just get like first pick? Does home team just get first pick and they usually choose the...
Yeah, because LSU wears white at home all the time.
They like have one game where they wear purple, I believe.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just kind of talking through that. So go ahead, sorry.
You're great. I'm pro TCU with the red. I just like matte black helmets. Like when Oklahoma State did it and they have like Pistol Pete? Do they use that for their mascot? They have like his face on the side with the mustache and like a different type of black. Like I'm all in on that. That is, if K-State could do something like that, that'd be fantastic. Or really, if K-State, my number one thing would be get rid of silver pants. I have no idea why we're still doing silver pants.
Ooh, see, I actually kind of like that. I like the silver pants. I like the white better, but I like having the option. And hell, I'd bring purple pants, so I know people don't like my pant comments. Mike, what are any Big 12 uniform takes and anything you'd like to see from K-State?
I was going to say, you know, purple pants, isn't that also a Ron Prince-ism?
Yeah, it was, but it wasn't. It was like an off shade. I think if it matched and we didn't get boat raced by Nebraska at home, I think that honestly has more to do with it. But I'd like to see them come back.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in terms of uniforms, I like the West Virginia all yellows with the blue highlights, blue logo. I don't know. I just kind of dig those. I agree with you on the. I don't remember if those are home or away, but I like the Oklahoma, the cream outfit. That's a good one. In terms of uniforms, I tend to agree with the all one color in terms of like football, like all whites or all purple. Even throw in a black there or actually like a all gray like the basketball team used to have.
Yeah. Speaking my love language, Mike. All right, and then we'll go to Evan, and then we'll close out with Casey.
Yeah, I'm definitely in favor of, like, all of one color. Hate to say it, but I really like the Iowa State All Blacks.
Dead to me. Evan, you had been so good. You're one of our best, and then you give me that. Oh, Evan, you're killing me.
And I like the TCU as well that they've brought up. If I made a change to K-State, how about all silvers?
Yeah, no, I'm 100% on board with that. I think some of the talk about why gray isn't as big a color for football jerseys as it is in, like, basketball. Apparently, at least at one point, a lot of offensive linemen had gray gloves, so it made it tougher to distinguish holding penalties on the away team if your team was wearing all gray. So apparently, like, that was like a legitimate issue when it came to K-State thinking about doing gray uniforms once upon a time. Or maybe that was just a reason Bill Snyder gave Nike. So that is something I've heard straight from a couple different horses' mouths. So we'll close out with Casey on this one. Give me your uniform takes.
My answers got taken, but I'm not going to change them. Aways, Texas, whites. Those are great. Home, I also really like Oklahoma State's setup. I like every game's kind of different. Different logos, different color helmets, different tops, different bottoms. I really like that. I wish we had that variable every game. And if we could add something, one thing specifically, I think just a lavender jersey would be great. You know, with white pants, white helmet, we could really mix it up. But the lavender theme with the Cats logo, I think would be really cool.
Yeah, no, I like it. And I think the easiest thing would just be adding some different decals and doing different stuff with the stripings. You don't need anything from Nike. You don't need any lead time. You should do that. And then I legitimately think, because I love Colorado State has their state pride uniforms. West Virginia has their state of West Virginia helmet decal. I think it's a shame that K-State hasn't basically just gone to town just saying we're the state school by having a state of Kansas helmet decal with either the Power Cat in the middle or the Script Cats or a Sailor Willie or something that just has the state of Kansas on the side of the helmet just to kind of hammer at home, hey, we are the state's program. I think that would be an easy win. So I love it. I think this was another fun one from everyone. Thank you to everyone who asked questions. Thank you to everyone who's come on. I'm giving the MVP to my guy, Casey Wright. So Casey, I'm going to let you get a final word in before we close everything out. Tell anyone who's listening anything you want them to know.
Well, I tweeted about it today. I'm on the road for work today I'm in the state of Michigan, and I went to the gym today at the hotel, and this guy sees my K-State shirt, and he just starts talking me up. He like went to Missouri State apparently, but he lives somewhere else now, and he just started going in about how December 5th, 1998 was such a tragic day. He knew the date because it was his birthday. So talking about the Big 12 championship loss to K-State. But it was just so cool because he had all these memories from an outsider's perspective of how good K-State used to be, how cool it was when Huggins came. They came in with the new black unis with the cat scratches on it. He was aware of all this stuff. And it's one of those interactions that was – It brought me back to the good days of being a K-State fan. So that was a fun thing that happened today. So I'll end with that.
Perfect. I love it. Thank you so much for bringing that on. Conrad, I'm giving you a special shout out. I've seen you in the chat the entire night. I hope you come up on the stage next time. We love you, Boneheads. Keep rocking with us. Not really sure what the Monday show is going to be yet, but we're coming to you live every Thursday on Locker Room. Join us. Have some fun. Have a great Friday. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.